If you believe God for a miracle, and you know we can do the impossible, shout yeah.
You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Welcome you to our first service in August of 2015. We will never again have a first Sunday in August of 2015. So you are making history. You'll be able to say, I was with Bishop Lambert when he preached the last message of 2015 on the first Sunday in August. Isn't that great? You'll be able to tell your grandchildren that you were at Bethel on the last first Sunday of 2015 in August. There will never be another first Sunday of 2015 in August. Can you imagine that? Now maybe that doesn't mean anything to you, and I don't think it really was supposed to, but I think we should smile. Amen. Christianity should not make you sour. Now, the Bible said a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, and I began to look at the physiological concepts of that scripture, and talking with some friends of mine who are medical doctors, and they have validated that passage. Laughter lowers blood pressure, it relieves stress, and it gives you a better outlook on life, and it also causes your brain to produce new neurons that help you to be successful. Amen. So the language of faith is a part of your brain called the Wernicke area where language is formed. As a child, that area is extremely fertile, and that's why some people can speak 7, 8, 9 languages. It's best to learn them young. So if you have young children, try to get them exposed to as many languages as possible so that they can compete in a world economy. In fact, in Europe, they're teaching English as a second language. That sounds funny, but English as a second language to many people in various countries because the economy is shrinking all over the world. We are having connections and dealings with everyone outside of America. And so when you are limited to one language, you find yourself struggling to understand cultural reality. Language is the key to culture. That's why so many of us are confused with the scripture, because we are interpreting scripture based upon our cultural understandings. In fact, some people are so bound by cultural understandings that they cannot evolve in their scriptural knowledge. You might say, well, you know, you're not supposed to evolve. What God said, he meant. Well, the question isn't whether God said it and meant it, the question is, what did he mean? And so our language of faith is predicated upon that area of our spiritual brain that has absorbed whatever comes from the culture. As I thought about this, prayed about it, I tell you, those of you who know me, I start my sermon on Sunday, on Monday, while I'm still in the flow from Sunday. And while my spiritual antennas are still sensitive to the Holy Spirit, I don't like to give church work and administrative work the opportunity to come between God and I after we've spent such a great time together in teaching and preaching the Word of God. So while I think about it, during the week, it's usually a rehearsing of it. Monday, we get together, the Lord and I, to either determine whether or not we're continuing this or if we're going into something else. By the end of the day, it's solidified. The text is chosen. The research has begun. The outline is developed. Tuesday through Friday is going back to the refrigerator for leftovers. He's already given me the meal on Monday. But Tuesday through Friday, I go back through to extract parts of it. Now, there are some foods that are okay in the microwave. That means there are some truths that God will simply give to me that have already been deposited in me from my previous years as a Christian. They just need to be microwaved. But I come up under a generation where when my father was coming in late and my mother was heating up his food, she would put it on top of a pot of boiling water. Some of you can remember that. I see some smiles on some of your faces saying, I don't trust. Some of you still do it because you don't trust the microwave. And I don't blame you. I don't blame you. But so there are some things that God gives me that I have to sit and boil the water. Water boils at 212 degrees. All right, I know. You probably figured when you were learning it, I never need it for church. Okay. But water boils at 212 degrees. And the old theory was a watched pot. Okay, so the reality is it's going to boil at 212, whether you look at it and stand there or not. You're not going to speed up the process because it's a physical law, and physical laws aren't changed because we are impatient. So God says, all right, now this is a truth. I need you to boil some water. I need you to deal with this. And usually in that context, God will have me interact with people, deal with certain personality issues of my own to extract something deeper from the message. And I know that's what he wants me to preach. In other words, only preach what you've lived. Amen. Only give what you've experienced. You understand? So those things that are kind of microwavy, all right, they're nice to add on to, but don't stand up here and say what you can't support by your life. Amen. But when we talk about language, I need to ask you something God put in my mind this morning to ask you. He said to ask the people, how many of you used the language of faith last week? Don't raise your hand, but think about it. How many of you said something that was in that faith arena last week? You had 7 days to say something with faith attached to it. Well, what does that mean? I'm studying Russian, and so now I sit in my class with my Russian teacher, and we go over the acrylic. It's acrylic alphabet. It's weird. If you see the Russian language, the letters look crazy, but to those of us who study the language, it makes sense. So there is an A, an A, there is a B, there's all the same types of things. There are a few letters that we don't have that Americans have, and here's what she does. She makes me go over it interminably, to the point where it aggravates me. Then when I enter into the classroom, she says, no English for 2 hours. My Italian teacher did the same thing. No English for 2 hours. Twice a week, no English. I find myself leaving that classroom, going to, say, Best Buy or some other store, and walking into the store, and they say, hello, Mr. Lambert, and I find myself saying, Privet, tovarish. Как вас зовут? How are you? What is your name? Why? Because for that time period, my world was that language. Same thing happens with Italian. I talk to people sometimes, and if I'm thinking or if I'm listening to something in the car, I listen to those stations just to stay fluent, and I listen to conversational things. I'll get out the car, and I'll walk into the store, and I go, buongiorno, come va? Tutto posto oggi, and I have to catch myself because I'm walking in that realm. If you are filling your mind with the word of God, it'll come out. It'll come out to people that aren't even saved. People will say, how are you? Or, I'm blessed and successful in the Lord. I'm telling you, I'm healed, and by his stripes, I'm healed. They look at you, well, I just asked you how you are. That's how I am, and my speech identifies how I am. Now, this is an important concept because of where we're going today. I need to solidify 3 facts for this segment today. I need to get you out of here with 3 things set in your mind. Number one, in John's Gospel, chapter 8, verses 42 through 45, Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God, neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? Listen to what he says. If God were your father, you would love me. That's evidentiary. If God were your father, you would love me. Here's a humanistic illustration. If two children come from the same father, they should love each other. I remember when my brother and I used to fight, all siblings do, and we would fight, and at the end of the fight, my mother would say, "You're still brothers." And you can't get away from that. Sometimes he'll call me or now text me, and he'll say, "We're still brothers. We share DNA." Of course we do. So that excuses some behavior. In other words, that DNA covering says, I can excuse the behavior that's coming to me because we're still brothers. Listen to this. Oh, my Lord. He said, I came out of God, and I didn't come of myself. In other words, it wasn't my decision to come. He sent me. He said, so why don't you understand me? Why don't you understand me? He says, because you can't hear me. I love this. I love this passage. Listen to what he says. Why don't you understand me? So let's be philosophical for a second. Why don't you understand me means that I'm communicating. Because you can't say you don't understand something unless you've been exposed to it. Are you with me? So if I take a framing square and hold it up to you and tell you that you ought to be able to lay out the roof rafters just by the math on the framing square, you look at it, unless you've been trained, you'll say, I don't even know what that means. But you've been exposed to it. Until you've been exposed to something, you don't know if you understand it or not. So apparently Jesus is communicating. But it's one-sided. Jesus is saying here, you do not understand my speech. Why? He already says, if God were your father, you would love me. What is that? Evidentiary. If God is my father, you would love me. John gives us that over in 1 John when he talks about the proof of your salvation. If you love God, you'll love people. If you don't love people, you cannot love God. Watch now. He says, why do you not understand my speech? He said, because you can't hear my word. Now you're going to say, wait a minute. How many of you hear me? Right now, how many of you hear me? All right, now if you can't hear me, we'll pray for you because the devil's pulling on your auditory nerve. And we'll get him off so you can hear me. So how many of you hear me? All right, now you hear what I'm saying. How many of you understand what I'm saying? All right, now watch this. Sono molto stanco. Dopo questo servizio io andrò a casa mia perché io vorrei andare a letto. E dopo io cresce, io mangiarò perché io ho molto fame. How many of you heard me? How many of you understand me? You didn't understand me, but you heard me. So Jesus says, look what Jesus says, you don't even understand me because you can't hear me. Now, you just heard me, but you don't understand me, right? Now, so he can't be saying that he's speaking and they're hearing him, or this verse wouldn't be applicable, because you cannot hear me. But now watch this. Man, I was going down the street the other day, and man, this boss car slid up alongside of me, honked the horn. I nodded my head, he nodded his head, and we took off down the street, and he went skidding down the street, and I watched the car fishtail, and when it fishtailed around the corner, it spun around in a 360, and then it straightened up again, and I caught up with him, and I fanned his behind, and I flamed out with my engine, and all of a sudden some really groovy stuff happened in the middle of Cheltenham Avenue, and everybody had to kick back and say, whoa, what was up with that? How many of you heard me? How many of you hear me?
hearing in this text is, it's familiar by lifestyle. We have things as African Americans that are uniquely ours. You baby boomer, your generation came up under the terms like boss, get down. What did the next generation say? Get jiggy. You said, get down. You following me? So the terminology's changed upon generational understanding. But now when you become seniors, you don't get down no more, because when you do, you can't get back up. So now you just say, everything changes. So what is Jesus saying? Jesus says, you don't hear me. You hear what I'm saying, but you don't hear me. Why? Because you're not of me. You're not of me. You're not of me. When I went to Jamaica, I didn't have to ask the cab driver or the hotel attendant. I didn't have to ask them, what did you say? I had been exposed to that broken French, Haitian, English all my life. But other Americans would say, excuse me, can you repeat that? I didn't have to do that, because I could hear them. Jesus said, you can't hear me. Now watch him insult them. You know why you can't hear me? Because you're of your father, the devil. I ain't talking to you. You're Christians. You're of your father, the devil. And notice what he does. He says, and the lust of your fathers you will do. Boy, this is a beautiful study, and I wish I was permitted to exegete these four verses, because they are dynamic in Jesus' exegesis of relationship between us and God. They are pretty much insulting. You can't hear me unless you were born of my Father. But you are of your father, the devil, and his lust you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. We're not going to, fool around with beginning, because some people are going, was that before Genesis 1:1? How far was he a murderer? Jesus said, from the day he was created, he was a murderer. And that's a powerful statement, very powerful. Because, no, I ain't allowed to do it. But, all right, let me just do it, because I love you. Because what Jesus is saying here, that what really is in you will eventually come out, and circumstances will give you opportunity for it to come out. And so what he's saying is, the situation that caused your breakout wasn't what caused it. It just provided the opportunity for it to come out. Now, what Jesus just told you, psychologists charge you $125 per session to tell you this. Jesus is saying the people that you're blaming for your behavior, the more Freudian concept, Freud says whatever you do, somebody did it and they're to blame for it. No, Jesus is more Jungian. Jesus said it was in you. All that person did was open the door for it to come out. And so that's why you sit under the word regularly, so he can show you what's really in your heart. Watch. When somebody else comes in and begins to move in an area of responsibility that up until now has been yours uniquely, and you resent their leadership, it wasn't them. They weren't the problem. It was the fact that you owned that position and you were the lord of that position, and somebody came in and you felt threatened. And the reason God let that person come in is because you didn't know that you were lording. You actually thought You were deceived into thinking that you genuinely were sharing that ministry. But somebody else came in with new ideas, with new ways of doing things, and you resented it so much that you would go to the leader to try to bring them down. That shows your heart. Rather than say, oh, praise the Lord, help. I got help. Take this thing forward, brother, sister. Go for it. Not, oh, well, we ain't of the same spirit. We ain't of the same mind. We ain't, oh, no, no, no. See, God wouldn't do that. Amen. And if God were looking for perfection, I wouldn't be here. Amen. Amen. That's why I have a whole lot of grace. Because he's had a whole lot of grace with me. Amen. So Jesus said, you're of your father the devil, the lust you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning. And notice he uses these statements very definitively. And he abode not in the truth. And the Bible calls him the anointed cherub that covered. The Bible said he started out with God. But then the scripture says, until iniquity was found in you. What was the provocation for the iniquity? This stuff that sprung up in the heart of Satan, how did it get there? It was there. The poppy is a beautiful plant, but heroin is a deadly drug. How did the heroin come out of the poppy? Because God gave brains to people. God gave a gift to the devil. And he took that gift and used it to manipulate 1/3 of the holy angels. Brothers and sisters, we are no match for the devil. Don't even try to go toe to toe. When the devil rings the bell of your heart, send Jesus. Turn around and say, oh, Jesus, somebody at the door. You got to handle this because you know I'm dust. And if he just blow on me, I'll dissipate. Step up, Holy Ghost. Don't even open the door when the devil does. You know how we do when the bill collector comes. Look out the blind. Don't. Ain't nobody home. Then you have those children that answer the phone. My mama told me to tell you ain't nobody home. But you can tell the devil. Jesus told me to tell you, you're not coming in. Amen. You don't have to rebuke the devil. Just say the Lord rebukes you. Don't even waste your time. He's a liar and he's defeated. Well, I didn't want to get that far. Watch this. Jesus said he didn't abide in the truth. Look at this. Because there's no truth in him. I love this. That's why I said we could really take time with it, but he has not permitted me to do more than what I'm doing. Because there is no truth in him. Look at this. When he speaks a lie, it's his own, for he is a, that means even when he gives you what is considered to be true, it is still a, because he is a, he is incapable of telling the, because he is a, the devil is a, Satan is a, Beelzebub is a, they're all liars. But now Jesus says not only is he a liar, but he is the father of it. Now he uses a term here in the Greek, the term is padera. And padera means not only to sire, but it means to watch over, nurture, and keep going until it becomes believed. That's the concept. In other words, what Jesus is saying is that when the devil speaks the lie to you, he doesn't just walk away and let you wrestle with it. He comes back later to substantiate it. See, he'll come and tell you you're not healed. But he knows in your heart you're believing because you've been coming to healing school on Wednesday. He says, no, he knows that you know that just like I'm saved, I'm healed. So what he does, he says, all right, now I just told you you weren't healed, but you are still fighting it because you've been hearing Isaiah 53. You've been hearing Matthew 8. You've been hearing 1 Peter. So now you're kind of betwixt and between. So what he does, because he's the father of it, he comes back later and pinches you. He says, give him some pain. Or he'll come back later and have the technician in the hospital give make a mistake on the test result.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Anything to get your faith off of God, because he's a
liar.
So if he is a liar, that means you cannot act on what he says.
Amen.
Here's our example, Matthew chapter 4. Jesus is led of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Never leave that part out. To be tempted. To be tempted. Jesus went out to meet the devil for us so we don't have to deal with that fool. That's why he went out there. He went out there to beat this rascal so that anybody who comes with Jesus, Satan will look at us and say, oh, they belong to Jesus. Can't do too much.
We just talk. Talk too much.
And we talk too much to the devil. He doesn't need to know your business. That's what Jesus said. When the devil came to Jesus and said, if you are the Son of God, command these stones be turned into bread. Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. He said, man shouldn't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes out of God's mouth. Satan says, all right, now you want to play scriptures with me? He came back later and said, now look, if you're the Son of God, come up here and throw yourself down, for it is written that he shall give his angels charge over you, and they shall keep you so that you don't even hit your foot against a stone. Jesus said, yep, well, you just gave the truth in a lying voice. You're still a liar. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord your God. Jesus said, don't even put that out before me, talking about God is on your side. Go on down to the store at 2 o'clock in the morning, and it's loaded with crack dealers, and God will protect you. Yeah, stay in the house. Don't tempt him. Don't get paid and come outside talking about, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Look at the Lord. Yeah, watch it go down the street. Don't tempt the Lord. Then the third time Satan came back, he said, look, man, I'll give you all these kingdoms. Now, that's about the dumbest move he ever did. That's like stealing my car, bringing it back to me and saying, "Would you? Here's a nice car. You want to buy it? And it's still got my stuff in it." Jesus said, I'm going to get these kingdoms anyway. After I step on your head, they're going to be mine anyway. You can't give them to me now. Talking about if I fall down and worship you. Negro, I made you. I'm going to fall down and worship you. You best look to that. You forgot. Bible said the devil left him. I love that. And I like to put it in my own mind. I think the devil turned around and shrieked, ah, can't get to this man. Why? Because Jesus knew he was a liar. He knew the devil was a liar. And anything he promises you is a lie. Satan can't promise you peace. He's the author of confusion. How can he promise you peace? Tell him, marry that person and you'll have peace. You ain't going to have no peace. Nothing the devil gives you is in line with the word of God. He's a liar from the beginning. Jesus even said he comes to kill, steal, and destroy. So don't accept anything from him. Anything he tells you, it's a lie. Anything he suggests to you, it's a lie. Discipline your mind to resist it before it becomes part of your speech patterns. Because once it becomes part of your speech patterns, it's too late to resist it. Now, I know some of you are struggling with that. Wait a minute. What are you saying? Because Jesus said what comes out your mouth is what's ingrained in your mind. And so what we need to do is fill our minds with the word of God so that the word of God is the only thing that is processed out of our mouths. James said, how little matter is the tongue? It's a small member. He said, but it is set on fire by fires of hell. Woo! He said, we can steer boats with just a rudder. We can hold on to 800-pound horses with a little bit in the horse's mouth. He said, but the tongue is an unruly member. He said, it is set on fire by fires of hell. It boasteth great things, but our tongues can be liars when they are submitted to the devil to use. But how can the tongue speak anything other than what's in the speech center of the brain?
That's right. Amen. Yes, sir.
So do you hear what God is saying? Do you understand what God is saying? Has his words taken over your words? Listen carefully. Cultural expressions. Oh, God, I'm just so sick and tired of this. I'm just sick and tired. Why can't you just be tired? Why do you have to be sick? Oh, come on, Pastor, that's just an expression. Yeah, there are a lot of expressions that we as Christians should not use because they are detrimental to the God life inside of us. It's not positive speaking. It's saying what God says. If God's, all right, if I tell one of these assistant pastors to do something and they come to me for clarification and validation, once they leave my presence and then they go out to employ others to carry out that message, when they say it, you know they're saying it as a representative of me. So when you fight them, you're fighting me. Why? Because they wouldn't be saying it if they hadn't had clearance from me. In fact, you might say, well, hold on now, Pastor. Some people do say things in your name. But it's up to me to determine who's close enough to speak for me. It's called election. I'm only going to elect those that have my spirit. If they don't, I will censor them. In other words, they may be able to do work, but they won't be able to say words. It's the words that people want to hear. They want to hear, Pastor told me to do this. Pastor said. That's what they want to hear. That's what the devil's waiting for. He ain't waiting for no old wives' tale from Georgia. He ain't waiting for some old secular humanistic theology that springs up from knowledge that's not biblical. He's waiting to hear if you say, God said. God said I'm healed. God said I'm delivered. God said I'm prosperous. God said I'm more than a conqueror. In other words, that doesn't mean, glory to God. Now, this is for my 730 people now. You my mature folk. You can say God says I'm prosperous while you're broke. But you watch this. He says, John 8, look at this. He says, when he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own, for he's a liar and the father of it. Now listen to Jesus. He said, because I tell you the truth, you don't believe me. Why? Why is it that we are so easily swayed to a lie? That man puts his arm around you and said, baby, I love you. You know every part of your body, every sense you have is saying he don't love me. But you fall for it. Why? Because my flesh yearns to be loved. Even the most hardened person yearns to be loved. I don't care how wicked you are, you still want to be loved. So you ache to hear it. And then there are those who go through this world lying to people. Baby, I love you. Baby, I love you. There are women that tell men they love them. As long as that man does things the way that woman thinks they should be done, she loves him. There are men who tell women they love them. And as long as she gives him sex, he loves her. But when the sex stops, he don't love her anymore. He don't do anything for her.
Amen.
Well, I must have hit somebody because it's like they're sitting there. I saw some heads turning. Look at the person next to him. Is that why you're doing what you're doing for me? Tell you how to find out. Just stop. Cut it off cold turkey. Don't listen. You might be able to use a methadone treatment for drugs and do a little bit at a time. Or you might be able to, you know, do some medical stuff. But when it comes to sex, you got to stop. You have to cut it off. It may have some extreme ramifications, but if you continue to let it go on, you will dig a hole for yourself that you can never get out of. And see, ungodly people will treat it with anger. Godly people may be hurt about its loss, but they'll be happy that this thing is stopping because that was separating them from an intimate relationship with God. At some point in your Christian evolution, you have to make a choice. Do you want God's presence or that person's presence? Let me go on. So the devil mess with you because he's trying to affect your speech center. Your speech. Now, I told you earlier, I've done 10 years of Italian. Now I'm on my third year of Russian. And so when I sit in that class, as I said earlier, when I go into the class, she said, we won't speak English for 2 hours, twice a week. We won't speak English. And so for 2 hours, I got to sit there listening. And she gets on my nerves because you know how you can get away with stuff in English? You know, you can say, get. I can still hear my mother now. She made us say get. Every time I say get, ain't no get. It's get. I would sign my name. It was sloppy. She'd tear it out the book, write it again. Come on, mama. No teacher don't care. There's 40 kids in the class. She ain't looking at handwriting. Write it again. Get. Not dat. That. This, it is, I will not. Contractions were a cheap way out. I will not. I could not. Why the proper enunciation? That's why I don't use shortcuts if I text. I spell it out and I refuse to answer how. Are you? I won't answer. I just delete it. I don't. That wasn't taught to me. Why is that necessary? Because it is extremely essential in your spiritual walk. You can't use shortcuts with the devil. I'd be fine. Devil said, "You be what?" I'd be fine. See, you can't say things to the devil. You can't use colloquialisms. How are you? I'm holding on. God, the angel can't support holding on. When you say, I'm holding on, your angel goes to the Bible and says, let me find that verse real quick. He's looking. He looks over at his partner and says, it's not in here. He said, well, then we can't support him. That's why you fall, because you're just holding on. But if you say, I'm standing, the angel says, I go to Ephesians chapter 6. He looks and says, having done all to stand, stand. He said, we can back that one up. That's why you get strength to stand, but you don't get strength to hold on. Language. Listen carefully. When you say what God says, you're speaking from God's realm. From God's realm. As a child, my sister may convey to me, Mama said, clean up your room. Well, I wouldn't pay any attention to her if she told me to clean up the room. Eric, clean up your room. Mama said, clean up your room. Okay. And if I don't do it, first thing Mama says is, why you didn't clean up that room? You weren't here. Didn't Jackie tell you? Yeah. So then I get punished because I didn't do what I was told by her. You say, well, she didn't tell you. Yes, she did. Yes, she did. My sister became the euangelion, the evangelist. And she had a message of liberation. Her message was designed to save me from hell. Eric, clean up the room. I ain't listening. Hell came. Why? Because I didn't listen to the messenger. Watch this. What is the devil? What is the devil? What is the devil? And a liar is a fabricator. Now watch this. This is going to really, really, really liberate some of you. Do you know you cannot have a lie without having truth? If you don't have truth, you can never have a lie. And in many cases, a lie is not the opposite of a truth. It is truth reconfigured. That's why Satan came to Jesus and said, if you're the Son of God, go on and make the stones bread. Now, we all know Jesus could have made the stones bread, but he would have been making them bread at the devil's behest. And so once the devil can get you to obey him in anything, he just lied to you and told you he was greater than God because you did what he said. For example, you're sitting there and you're just seething. You're just mad at Pastor Martin. You're just mad at Pastor Aaron. You're just mad. And the devil says, pick up that phone and text them. Text them the most hateful thing you ever heard. And God has already told you love doesn't do that in 1 Corinthians 13. But the devil's lying to you. He says, yes, it does. Love is not patient. Love is not kind. Love is not long-suffering. You don't let nobody walk over you. You text them now. And the Holy Spirit sits there. He's waiting for you to respond to truth. 1 Corinthians 13. But you believe that the lie is greater. And then the devil says, all right, you want scripture? The Bible says if somebody offends you, you tell them that they offended you. You say, that's right, I'm going to tell him. He knows I've been wanting to do worship. He won't ask me to do worship. He got his picks. You're darn right we got our picks. I mean, come on, think about it. Would you want somebody up here whose heart is full of hate and bitterness who would use the pulpit to beat everybody up? Would you buy fish from a cattle farmer? Yes, we have pigs. I mean, come on, it's not that difficult. How are you going to let somebody run the finances of your church who has a credit score of 415? How they going to manage God's money and they can't manage their own? How they going to be over your children's ministry and their kids don't even come to church? And I say kids, not adults. Because once that child reaches adulthood, you can't do nothing about that kid. But if that child's 4 and 5 years old, they have no business being at home watching TV while you're trying to get everybody else's child to come to Sunday school. And they look around and yours ain't there. How you going to tell my children what to do and your children aren't listening? How you going to have a marriage ministry and your wife ain't talking? You sitting over there and they sitting over here and you going to bring both of us together. Well, let me see how this works, Leroy. You going to tell me how God going to bring me closer to my spouse and the two of y'all don't even talk to each other? Yes, we have picks that are determined by life. Not favoritism, anointism.
For a copy of the message you just heard in its entirety, call 215-885-2585. And when ordering, request ID number
08115A.
Today's message is available on CD for $9 and DVD for $16. The Climbing Higher TV broadcast can be seen on WBPH TV 60, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. To attend Bethel Sunday services, join us at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m., with prayer and Bible study being held every Wednesday beginning at 7 p.m. For more information, visit us on the web at www.betheldeliverance.org. Thank you for tuning in to the Climbing Higher broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert, Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
Exciting news. Bethel has gone prime time.
Bethel's broadcast schedule now includes WTVE Channel 51 Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. Our regular broadcast will continue on WPPH Channel 50s on Sunday evenings at 7:30 p.m. and Monday through Friday, 7:30 a.m. Tune in to get a word from the Lord. Praise it.